today as we come to the table.
I don't know where he is now, but when he wrote that song, "You've Got to Serve Somebody," he wrote it for a reason, because he said, he realized, here's the bottom line. If you're not serving God, you're going to serve something else. "I don't serve anybody." Yeah, you do. "I'm an atheist." Not really. The Bible says that atheists don't exist. God doesn't believe in atheists. Isn't that cool? How ironic. God didn't believe in atheists. But it's true. The Bible says that everybody knows in their heart that God exists. Everybody. So they can claim, "I'm an atheist." Well, no, you're not. You're lying. Now, they may not receive that real well if you tell them that, but the Bible says they know there's a God.
Are you a leader or a follower? You may think you're a leader and you don't follow anyone, but whether you admit it or not, you are following someone. There is more than likely someone you look up to or want to be like in some way. That's the person you are following. The best thing you can do is admit it to yourself. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark explains how, if you aren't serving God, you will serve something else. The Bible says everyone knows there's a God. So if you don't follow and serve God, then who or what are you following? If you don't make up your mind, the enemy will make it up for you. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Joshua, chapter 19, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
"Therefore, be very courageous to keep them and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. Unless you go among these nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them nor bow down to them, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God as you have done this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he promised you. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God, or else if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you and make marriages with them and go into them and know them, or rather go into them and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you and scourges on your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you." Guys, two huge things to note here. Number one, don't rest in the fact that you've been walking with God up to this point and say, "You know what, it's okay if I veer off now." God says, if you turn away from me and you start living like the world again, there's going to be consequences. You can't just say, "I'm a Christian and I'm going to live how I want." There's going to be difficulties, thorns in your eyes. I mean, all these things that God says is going to happen. And as a believer, if we choose to walk away, this is what we're going to experience. See, here is the terrible truth. And I'm going to use that phrase. Here's the terrible truth. Even as God is faithful to bless us when we're obedient, he's still a faithful God to judge, which means he's just as faithful to bring curses and consequences when we don't. Why? He's faithful. Faithfulness works on both sides of the spectrum. He is faithful to bless in obedience, and he's faithful to curse in disobedience. That's a scary warning for us as believers. I'm not addressing salvation issues here, although that can be a consideration as you mull that through your mind theologically. But I'm addressing the issues of God is faithful. And if I choose to walk away from the Lord and just go do what I want to do, God will be faithful to bring those consequences in my life. Well, those are not exactly the kind of promises you want to stick on your fridge. But it's the reality of the God we serve. So we need to be warned ourselves, and we need to warn other believers. Don't just think you can live how you want and you're not going to suffer the consequences, because God is faithful. And I think sometimes we only look at the faithfulness of God on the side of the fact that God's going to be faithful to me in blessing. But God is also faithful to make sure that if we do something where we turn away from him, then he also is faithful to bring the consequences on us that need to be brought on us. So we're to hold fast to the Lord and not be driven out like the others were driven out. And so notice verse 14, behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth as I'm about to die. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. I love it. He says it again. You know. He's been faithful to do it all. Everything that he said he would do, all has come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. He says it again. I love it. Reminds me of Moses when he was coming out of Egypt and Pharaoh's trying to get him to compromise. You don't need to take everybody with you. You don't need to take everything with you. He said, not one hoof will be left behind. Not even one ox. He went further than that. I'm going down to the foot of an ox. Not even one hoof will be left behind. When we go for it for God, everybody's going. The whole thing, we're in completely. That's just how it's going to be. I love it. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all the good things have come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the harmful things. Now, here's that faithfulness to bring the consequence. Okay? Even as he brought all the good, the Lord your God promised you, he'll bring upon you the harmful things until he has destroyed you from the good land which the Lord your God has given you. Wow. So God will bless me if I walk with him, but if I turn away, God will begin to work against that? Yeah. Heavy. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he has commanded you, and you've gone and served other gods and bowed down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. And so, again, a huge, strong, and powerful warning, and I didn't think we'd finish, but we're going to. That's awesome. All of Joshua, chapter 24. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel for their heads and their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times and served other gods. So look at their history. Your history is you had came from a background of an area that served false gods. He's just recapping some history. God is with them. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, multiplied his descendants, and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Now again, notice how God is saying, I gave this. You know, I don't like what you get. Well, God says, I gave you this. I gave you this. This is the Lord allotting this out. Also, I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt. According to what I did among them, afterward I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And so they cried out to the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, brought the sea upon them, covered them, and your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time. That's right, for 40 years. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you, but I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Therefore, he continued to bless you, so I delivered you out of his hand. By the way, you know that you can't be cursed unless God does it. The only way we can be cursed as a believer is if God brings curses on us because of our rebellion and turning away from the Lord. Balaam was what we would call a modern-day witch. He was a prophet, but he was trying to use witchcraft, so to speak. By the way, did you see that? This last couple of weeks, certain articles that jump out. Have you seen any articles, if you're news people, news readers? I had more than one article in the past couple of weeks, witchcraft growing in America. Has anybody seen that? It's like, you know, witchcraft's growing in America enough to where the main news medias are picking up on it and now running stories about it. Now, how big does it have to get before they do that? I don't know. But it's interesting to me to see the increase of witchcraft. Guys, that's the sign of a nation turning away from God. See, the more a nation turns away from the Lord, the more a nation looks to fill that void of spirituality with something else. And part of filling that void is oftentimes witchcraft. Mediums, as we talk about. Different things like that. Whatever. The spiritism, if you will. And so, you know, again, that's just a sign, again, of where our nation is and where we are as a people. It's kind of scary to see that that's happening. But again, you know, the Lord is saying here, that happened to you as children of Israel, Balaam. And remember, Balaam tried to curse them, but when Balaam pronounced a curse, God didn't let him. He said, no, I'm gonna bless them. And so God took over through Balaam and blessed the children of Israel. And so don't worry about that. Even if witches increase, they can't curse you. So that's good to know. That's just extra credit for tonight, extra points. So notice he says, I wouldn't listen to Balaam. Therefore, he continued to bless you, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgazites, Hivites, Jebusites, but I delivered them into your hand. So you defeated all your enemies when you stayed with me. Look at this. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, also the two kings of the Amorites, but not with sword or with a bow. Now, armies can drive you out, and people can drive you out, but how well do you think hornets drive people out? You ever been chased by bees before? I mean, I'll tell you, if a hornet gets after you, or some bee or whatever, you're like, I'm out of here. So God actually sent hornets to chase them out and to drive them out of there. I think that's pretty amazing. God uses everything, even nature, so to speak. But he sent hornets after them to drive them out, and also these kings to drive them out. I've given you a land which you did not labor, and cities for which you did not build, and you did not dwell in. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. So I gave you things that you didn't really even earn or work for. Now, therefore, because of all that, fear the Lord. What an encouragement to us tonight. Look at all the blessings God has given us. Guys, God has given you a home, a vehicle, husbands, wives, children, friends, family. Now, therefore, serve the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Give it all to him because he's worthy of all of it. And so this is a very reasonable argument. We serve the Lord because it's reasonable that we give him everything because of all he's done for us. Fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now, this is amazing to me. Here they are. God's given them the land. They've been established in the land, and they still have these false gods. Because he says, get rid of them. Why do you still have these false gods? Put them away. What is the modern application for us, guys? Guard yourself from having gods. We don't have the idols, the little statues anymore, you know, so to speak, but we have these things we put before God, don't we? They're gods. If we put them before the Lord, it's a god. He says, guard your heart. Clear everything out of your heart that would put anything before the Lord. And make sure that it's him only that you fear. And notice this. I love this. He gives them an ultimatum. This is really building up here to a crescendo. He says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord. Who would say it seems evil to serve the Lord? You know, if that seems evil to you, if you don't like it, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. See, you got to serve somebody, right? You have to. You have to. That's why he wrote that song. There was a stint in his life where he was really living for the Lord. You know, Bob Dylan was living for the Lord. He's doing this whole thing, whatever. And this song came out during that time. Now, I don't know where Bob Dylan is right now with the Lord. He claims to have known Christ and lived with Christ, this kind of thing. Keith Green, if you guys remember Keith Green, I know that he was acquaintance with him, and he was going for it for a while and this kind of thing. I don't know where he is now. But when he wrote that song, you've got to serve somebody. He wrote it for a reason because he said, he realized, here's the bottom line. If you're not serving God, you're going to serve something else. I don't serve anybody. Yeah, you do. I'm an atheist. Not really. The Bible says that atheists don't exist. God doesn't believe in atheists. Isn't that cool? How ironic. God didn't believe in atheists. But it's true. The Bible says that everybody knows in their heart that God exists. Everybody. So they can claim, I'm an atheist. Well, no, you're not. You're lying. Now, they may not receive that real well if you tell them that, but the Bible says they know there's a God. They know it. Now, I believe you can go long enough, because the Bible says everybody knows, but I believe you can go long enough where you harden your heart so much you convince yourself there's no God. I think you can harden up that much. But the bottom line is that they might say they don't believe in God. What they're saying is, I don't believe in the God of the Bible. So you're an atheist to that God, but what are you a believer in, Mr. Atheist? Well, I believe in science, so there's your God. You're not an atheist at all. You're a strong believer in the God of science. Oh, really? Yeah. Or whatever. Because whatever you're believing is the power that made all this happen, or why we're here, or why everything's functioning, that's your God. That's what's making it work. So atheism, agnosticism, is really just singled about the God of the Bible. You know, you don't hear people say, well, you know, when it comes to Buddhism, I'm an atheist. I'm an agnostic when it comes to Islam. No, it's always this dealing with the Bible, right? Because that's the only one that's real. So the only one people can really deny is the only one that's real. So it makes total sense, but I don't think they even know what they're doing. But the bottom line is that You're going to serve something or somebody if you reject God. You're going to. It's God. We're built that way. The Bible says there's an empty place in the heart of man that's always seeking to fill it. And see, that's why we run to all these things and try to fill our heart up with it. You know, drugs, alcohol, boyfriends, girlfriends, things. We're trying to go, I need. Something here is empty. Fill it. And so, and if we don't let God fill it, what happens? We look to either other people to fill it or things to fill it. God, only God can do that. He says, but you know what? You need to make a choice. You need to choose who you're going to serve. Who will you serve this day? God gives everyone a choice, doesn't he? Everyone has a choice. Scripture's clear on that. And so he lays out the fact, you have a choice. Make the right one. And if you want to choose evil, then choose evil. Serve the gods which your father served on the other side of the river, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. You want to do that, then go for it. Now, this is really ingenious what he's doing here, because now he turns it around and goes, that's what you want to do, but not me. Look at this. Here it is, one of the most famous lines in all scripture. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What a great statement for every family to have about their home. That needs to be your statement for your home. That's what I'm just telling you. You choose in your home to serve the Lord. And that means, you know, whether, you know, if you have kids that don't want to serve the Lord, then, you know, that's fine. They get of age, they can move out. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And by the way, dads, it's our responsibility to set the tenor of what we're going to accept in the house. Everyone knows what they've accepted before God or whatever, whatever you feel God is leading you. But you've got to be the man of the house and say, here's what we're going to do, here's what we're not going to do. And sometimes you're going to have to say things, you know, no, we're not going to do that. And you might feel like you're not very popular, or maybe you're the bad guy. But here's the bottom line. You're going to be the one standing before God one day, not them. Now, they'll stand before God to deal with their issues. But when it comes to your house, dads, even before the mom does, note this. You're going to stand before God and give account for what you allowed in your home. The wife will answer second to that. The husband answers first. God says, I'm holding the man accountable. He's the one that I've put over. He's the leader. So he's the first one that I stand before. So if you're struggling about what your standards in your home should be, and you're thinking, I have this conviction, but I don't want to really be too strong, or I don't want to do this, whatever, just remember this. They're not going to be answering to God for that. You are. And when you know the buck stops with you, you tend to think about it a little bit more and go, wait a minute, you might feel okay with it. Good for you. I don't, and I'm the one that has to talk to him about it. So here's what we're going to do in our house. So Joshua lays it out there. We're serving the Lord. Now, this is kind of humorous, but look what he does. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we'd forsake the Lord and serve other gods. But see, they really were, and he knew in their hearts they were. For the Lord our God is he who brought us out of the land of our fathers, up out of the land of Egypt. You know, they're being religious out front, but they're living different behind the scenes. He says, he brought us from the house of bondage, who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwell in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. I love this. Look at this. But Joshua said to the people, you can't serve the Lord. I love that. Choose who you're going to serve. We'll serve God. You can't. What? No, you can't, because I know the truth about you. You're playing a game. You're saying you're going to, but you can't. Here's why you can't. You can't until you get rid of all the junk out of your life. You can play a good religious game, throw the words out there, I love the Lord. No, you can't. Until you deal with these issues that you know are wrong, you can't serve the Lord. Stop playing games. I love Joshua's like, bam, bam. But now think about it. He's 110 years old. He's about to die. What's he got to lose? I mean, he's saying, look, I see some psychology going on here where he's saying, you know what? I'm going to force you guys to realize that you need to make a decision. Stop goofing around. No more games. I'm not going to go along with this, oh, yes, I love the Lord stuff. I know what's going on in your tents. So repent and get it right with God, and then God will accept you. But you can't serve the Lord. So we serve the Lord. We will. Well, you can't. You know, I love Joshua. You know, again, just lays it out there. For he's holy. Now, here's why you can't serve him. I know what you're doing. He's a holy God. Guys, don't think you can live an unholy life and serve God in purity. You can't do it. You can be saved. I believe that. You can be saved and start living fleshly, but you can't serve God and really pour your heart out if you're not living holy. And that is set apart for him. If you're living for the world, you're never going to be close to God. He's there. He knows you. You know him. You're close. But that's about it. It stops right there. And that's what he's laying out to him. You can't. He's holy. And he's jealous. And the bottom line is, you've got other affections to other gods, other things. He will not forgive your transgressions or sins. If you forsake the Lord your God and serve foreign idols, then he will turn and do harm and consume you as he has done you good. Again, this is a theological challenge for some. I'll just let the word stand on its own. He says, you follow me, God will bless you. You turn from me, then God's going to turn away from you. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. So Joshua said to the people, all right, your witnesses against yourselves, that you've chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. All right, so we made a deal. I pushed you on it. You said it. All right. They said, we're witnesses. Now, therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods. Right, you want to do it? Now follow through. Don't be a hearer, be a doer. Put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak, which was by the sanctuary of the Lord, there in that region, there Shiloh. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, the stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he has spoken to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God. It's interesting about rocks. I don't know what's going on with rocks, but the Lord said, if you deny me, the rocks will cry out. And now Joshua goes, you know, the rocks are going to be a witness. So just know if you're speaking around rocks, you might be being listened in on. All right? So Joshua let the people depart, each to his own inheritance. It came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. They buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Serah, which is in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Note that they served during Joshua's day and the elders, but it's conspicuously quiet after that because when they died, they turned away. The bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought up out of Egypt, they buried in Shechem, and the plot of ground which Jacob had brought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, to which he had become an inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him in the hill belonging to Phinehas, his son, which was given to him in the mountains of Ephraim. And thus we finished the book of Judges, or Joshua. We did it all, two books in one night. Judges and Joshua. No, Joshua. We're getting into the book of Judges. But wow, a lot of stuff, huh? What a great book. What a great place just to graze and plant seeds and let God minister. Let the Lord just minister in your heart what he gave you tonight. And let's pray because, again, time's sake. Let's ask God just to really let it marinate in our heart. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the seed you planted tonight, the word that you planted in our heart, how rich it is, how full it is, how wonderful it is. And God, let it pierce us. Let us be doers of your word and not just hearers. And I pray that if we would be those that would say tonight, I choose to serve the Lord, let us not hear in the spirit. You can't. Because you're not holy and you're serving other things. Lord, let us be those that would hear you say, well done. And Lord, if we're not serving you, let us be those that would say, we repent. Lord, we turn from the things we know that are wrong. We reject them. Lord, help us to walk in holiness and purity before you.
You've just heard Pastor Mark Kirk teaching from the book of Joshua here on Come to the Table. This book is home to the well-known story of the walls of Jericho and Rahab the harlot. But what may be less well-known is the Israelites' failure to obey God and completely possess the land promised to them. You see, some Israelites never fully enjoyed the blessing of God's promise because of sin in their lives. It can be the same with us, can't it? Whether it's disobedience, persuasion of worldly things, or a lack of faith, we miss out on God's blessing sometimes. But there's still good news for us. God's character, his faithfulness and promises never change. They're still there, just waiting for us to trust and hold on to. If today's message had an impact on you, would you let us know by visiting our questions or comments link found on our website, thewaymedia.net? This is a good way for us to gauge how we can better serve you, our listeners. While you're there, stay a while. Familiarize yourself with our ministry and what we're about.
And if you can find yourself traveling through,
staying in, or residing in Knoxville, Tennessee, we hope you'll come check us out at Calvary Knoxville. Consider that an invitation from us to you. We'd love to have you. Service times can be found at thewaymedia.net. Just scroll down and find the link to Calvary Knoxville. Unfortunately, our time must come to an end, but we want to say thank you for listening today.
Pastor Mark has more in Joshua on the next edition of Come to the Table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.